Perfect. Thank you. All right. I would like to introduce Julia, who is our speaker for today, and she's going to talk to us on emotional sobriety.
Hi, everybody. Julia, I'm a really great controller fixer, an internal chaos creator, and an obsessor, codependent, and a food addict. I've been in BBA coming on 4 years. I'm doing my fourth workshop right now. One of the workshops was with Fellowship of the Spirit Fellow. It's very similar to BBA. And my big takeaway from that is he always used to say, my life is the result of how God is in my life. And I just always think of that when I remember him. I've been coming to the Sunday emotional sobriety meetings for just a year now. And I have to say that I believe my biggest spiritual progress has happened as a result of that meeting and all of your shares in those meetings, and just a lot of inspiration and ideas. And it's really, really helped my program a lot. I also now have a very heightened awareness of when I'm getting sucked into my negative obsession. I think I used to just try to tune things out as best I could. And I really notice now too, when I get that hit of adrenaline, cortisol, dopamine, whatever is happening. So kind of funny, several months ago, I did a self-defeating belief inventory about speaking in meetings. And one of the first talks I heard at that Sunday meeting was by Jessica G. And she said she always had to prepare, plan, predict, study, analyze, and contain before she gave any kind of a talk. And I that hit the bullseye for me, because I couldn't let anybody see any weakness in me. And I darn well better be saying something with depth and weight, because I needed to impress you with my spiritual development, haha, or I'd go into a shame spiral. And so I've really, really, really moved far along in my progress there, because I did not even get an adrenaline spike today. And what I've been doing, actually, when Sally asked me, she forgot to put the date on it, and I assumed it was for, this was a month ago, I assumed it was somebody canceled and she needed somebody right away, so I showed up. So I've been thinking about this meeting for about a month, and I just keep praying and asking God, please show me, please tell me what you want me to share. And it's really, really benefited me a lot. So all these crazy little ideas have been popping up all week, and I've jotted down and taken some notes about it. I'm also noticing the codependency a lot more. I've been pretty enmeshed with my daughter. She's a really wonderful person, and also happens to be a bipolar alcoholic, and I've really come a far way on that too. Just in the last year, this is a great program, and I'm really getting a lot out of it. So a year ago, I had a lot of issues with the compare and despair. You know, oh my God, that talk was awesome, amazing, wonderful. How come I can't talk like that? And I was still working at the time. I'm retired now, but that has really been lifted. And, you know, my striving for perfection has been a huge issue all my life. And now I'm just like, oh well. And I really am giving myself permission to screw up, and it doesn't matter. I'm dealing with kind of a big issue right now. And I've always wondered about people who say, I lost my faith. God betrayed me. God abandoned me, you know, due to some trauma or tragedy. You know, my baby died, whatever. Where was God? And now I've had this big kind of trauma in my life just in the last 2 months. And it's been this very rapid decline in health. I have apparently some strange ailment that my doctor hasn't been able to diagnose. I have appointments with four specialists, and it includes a significant amount of pain, especially when I walk. Hello, I walk every day. I don't anymore. So when that happened early in April, my controller fixer just jumped in to save the day. And I really embraced self-pity for a while there, which one of my workshop leaders said self-pity is just selfishness in fancy clothes. And you know, my ego is just trying to protect me. It's trying to take care of me. So, and it can only be self-centered. I have a clear recollection that I chose to be unwilling, for several days. And you know how people say that, you're blocked from God when you're trapped in fear and resentment? I intentionally blocked myself from God. And it was that in itself was tragic. But you know, I kept up with my praying and meditating, and God really got my head screwed around very fast. And this whole experience has really really brought me closer to God, because I've got to trust and rely on God, you know. And I get this really deep comfort and relief when I do that. So, you know, the fear factory there is really on overtime these days. And I've looked into a group called Chronic Pain Anonymous. I don't know if it's going to be chronic yet. There's some really crazy symptoms. But another fun thing that God does to help me get through experiences is, well, here's one example. There's a song that was sometime in my past. I don't ever remember liking the song much or playing it much or hearing it much, but somehow this song keeps going in my head all the time, many times a day now. I don't know how long it's going to go on for, but the actual lyrics of the song are, "And if he really does exist, why did he desert me?" And so as soon as I hear it, I immediately override it with, you know, there's no doubt that he does exist and he will never desert me. So I'm like doing this crazy little thing many times every day. And it's just, thank you, God. You know, it's just these funny little things to perk me up are really, really helping a lot. And yeah, I heard somebody in a talk the other day say, God really gets my sense of humor. And Yes, I'm that is really true. I have a quirky sense of humor. Like sometimes in a movie theater, I'll be the only one laughing, or maybe a couple of people are laughing, nobody else is. But I find humor so much in every day, and it's really just getting me through this whatever this is. And a memory popped into my head the other day too. Thank you, God, for bringing it back. It's been many, many years since I've even thought of it, but I'd like to share it with you. It's kind of apropos of nothing, but it's just a sweet little thing that I remembered, and it's been helping me. So I'm on an airplane flying back from Peru. And it was actually a pretty interesting trip. This is also apropos of nothing. It was a group with Carolyn Mace, who was furthering the work of Joseph Campbell and the Power of Myth. And so my seatmate was this tiny little Peruvian woman. She looked, directly descended from the Incas. And they put a movie on. This was, 25 years ago, whatever. They put a movie on. It was a silly movie, silly Steve Martin movie called Bowfinger. And I laughed a lot throughout the whole movie. And every time I laughed, this Inca lady laughed exactly when I did through the whole movie, and nobody else was laughing. And we just kept looking at each other. And it was just this charming little experience. Anyway, I thought of it, so I thought I would share it with you. Yeah, I don't think I have 20 minutes here, but that's okay. I've been working on my fear inventory in my workshop, and that is apropos of everything. I got a little behind, so a couple of days ago, I just did my left column. I looked at all my resentment inventories and copied the fears in the column one, and I was really shocked because I just went into this really intense but unfocused kind of, I guess I'd just call it emotional pain. I just was like, oh. And I just had to sit there and feel my feelings for a while. And it dissipated, of course, it always does. But I was really shocked at how intense I felt just doing, just copying the fears down, I guess seeing them all together. And so I'm gonna be working on that probably for the next several days to get it all done. I'll probably have some more experiences like that as I proceed. But it's just emotional pain, and it passes, and I can recognize it now. I also have found that sitting with my physical pain really seems to, I don't want to say dissipate, but kind of alleviate it somehow. And especially for the headaches that I get, if I just put all my awareness on the pain for 10 or 20 minutes, often the headache is completely gone. And so I've been doing that a lot with my weird leg and arm pain. And I think it's kind of helping me to get through this and to somehow maybe integrate it a little more, something. I don't know. I also use gratitude a lot to get through every day. I'm so grateful for so many things. I pray every day thanking God for my grateful heart, because my husband, for example, doesn't ever express gratitude about anything. And that's his thing. Of course I can't judge him, which I'm doing. It just makes me realize how what a gift it is. It's a huge gift. And just to focus on all the wonderful things in my life. What could I say about my daughter? Well, I guess there's not that much that'll enlighten you. She's a really wonderful person in many ways. In fact, she's the primary advocate for my schizophrenic sister, and she helps to keep her and her husband in their apartment and not out on the street, because they just don't have the ability to really take care of things they need to. That enmeshment, yeah, I guess there isn't much I can say about that, except that I've really been able to set really clear boundaries with her just in the last 6 months, and it's really, really, really working out well for me. What else do I want to tell you? Well, you know, back in the day, which is to say 6 months ago or less, I used to write out every word, and then I would practice it 14 times, and I would time myself to make sure I was, you know, sharing the right amount of time. And well, I don't do that anymore. So I guess I'll end with a couple of paragraphs from the big book that I've been spending a lot of time with recently, and that I just need to keep remembering. It's page 68. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment and connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. For we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role he assigns. Just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? So I don't exactly know what it means to be emotionally sober, because my emotions are never going to really feel sober. They're always, you know, crazy, up and down, whatever, twisting around. But I think that serenity for me, match calamity with serenity, that's, to me, that's emotional sobriety. And God has really helped me develop a lot more, or has given me the gift of serenity. And for that, I am eternally grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, all you lovely people. And I'll pass.
Julia, that was just beautiful and couldn't be more.